KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have partly cloudy skies here and 29 degrees, your temperature in Atlantic. Looking for a high near 32 today with partly sunny skies later on and breezy north winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 25. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. A male suspect is being sought by Council Bluffs police in a robbery that took place at a convenience store on Friday in Council Bluffs. At approximately 7:21 p.m., a man described as white, possibly Hispanic, in his late teens to early 20s with a thin mustache, entered the D&S Express convenience store at 2924 North Broadway in Council Bluffs and displayed a black semi-automatic handgun in his waistband at the counter. The employee on duty then gave the man an undetermined amount of cash, and the suspect demanded money from under the drawer also. When the employee stated there was no more money, the suspect fled the business southbound on foot. He was later seen in the area of Spencer Avenue. Further descriptions of the suspect include that he was approximately 5'7" and 150 pounds with a medium build. He is wearing a dark-colored hooded sweatshirt, jeans, and a black cloth covering his face, along with blaze orange cotton gloves. If anyone has information about the suspect, they are asked to call Crime Stoppers at 712-328-7867, and that incident is still under investigation. Officials with the City of Atlantic say a sewer leak that occurred on Tuesday has been completely repaired, and the DNR notified of the repairs. City Administrator John Lund said on Friday that the lift station has also been reactivated. The leak repair was completed Thursday afternoon. Lund said our wastewater superintendent, Tim Snyder, and Tim Tighe of Snyder & Associates and Crane Construction worked together to get the situation resolved as soon as possible, and he thanked all parties involved for their rapid response. Officials with the Iowa DNR said that Tuesday evening an air release valve on a forced wastewater main caused approximately 100 gallons per day of wastewater to flow into the East Nishnabotna River from under the bridge at West 6th Street west of Atlantic. The leak bypassed wastewater only when the lift station pumps were operating for about 1 hour per day. The DNR has said that due to the river flow, the amount of wastewater that reached the river was diluted enough so that it did not affect the environment. A Page County woman was arrested Thursday in connection with the shooting of a man from Missouri. Sheriff Lyle Palmer reports that 51-year-old Gina Marie Walker of rural Clarinda faces charges that include willful injury and going armed with intent following an investigation into the shooting of 48-year-old Michael James Brown of Burlington Junction, Missouri. Brown was transported to the Clarinda Regional Health Center's emergency room. Walker has since posted bond at the Page County Sheriff's Office and was released. No other details about the incident are available. An Iowa woman has been acquitted of two counts of first-degree murder in the slayings of her husband and his girlfriend more than 30 years ago. After nearly 7 hours of deliberation, jurors found 54-year-old Teresa Sapino not guilty in the 1983 killings of Stephen Fisher and Melissa Gregory, whose bodies were found on the Copper Dollar Ranch northwest of Newton. Jurors weighed witnesses' testimony and crime scene evidence presented over nearly a three-week trial in which prosecutors said Sapino killed Fisher and Gregory out of anger over their relationship. The defense said the murders could have been related to the former ranch owner's drug trafficking. Officials tell the Newton Daily News that the case is now closed and there will be no active investigation into the murders. A message today from Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker, as Danker says the sheriff's office has received multiple complaints from citizens reporting that a person purporting to be with the sheriff's office has called their residence and stated that someone from their family is in jail and in need of bond money, or that they have an outstanding citation or warrant for their arrest, and if they do not pay the caller by purchasing Green Dot cards and providing the card numbers or by depositing funds into PayPal accounts, they will be arrested. Danker says the sheriff's office does not contact the public with those types of requests for money or payment of any kind. When the public receive calls with threats of arrest or any other method of intimidation for the purpose of exploiting money from them, the call is fraudulent and they should hang up. Anytime a person receives a call like this and they question the validity, they should follow up with their local law enforcement agency. The Atlantic Police Department reports two men were arrested Thursday on drug charges. 20-year-old Austin Eblin of Atlantic and 21-year-old Andrew Laughlin of Neola face charges that include possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and gathering where marijuana is used. Both men were booked into the Cass County Jail. Also, the Cass County Sheriff's Office on Friday released a report on recent arrests. Officials say 25-year-old Marshall Brandon Fisher of Atlantic was arrested Friday on a charge of driving while barred. Fisher was taken to the Cass County Jail and was released on his own recognizance on that charge, but he remains held at the Cass County Jail to finish serving previously sentenced jail time. On Wednesday, deputies in Cass County arrested William Daniel Mendez on a Pottawatomie County warrant. Mendez was later released to Pottawatomie County authorities, and 53-year-old Shara D. Ann Witt of Atlantic was arrested Wednesday on a district court warrant for probation violation. Witt was taken to the Cass County Jail, where she remains held on $25,000 bond. And on Tuesday, 33-year-old Jacob Allen Cochran of Red Oak was arrested in Cass County on three district court warrants for failure to appear. Cochran was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he remains held on $90,000 bond. A House panel has approved a bill that would help Iowa abuse victims keep their home address confidential. Members of a public safety committee approved the bill Thursday. It now moves to a full committee for consideration. The bill would allow a victim of domestic abuse, sexual abuse, stalking, or other scenarios to enroll in a program through the Secretary of State's office that would allow mail for a victim to be forwarded to a designated address. Supporters say the bill would protect victims from offenders using public records. Subcommittee members expressed concern about the program's $100 fee to individuals in Iowa who are convicted of charges, including domestic abuse. Representative Dean Fisher, a Garland Republican and a bill co-sponsor, says he's open to changes in the legislation. And as many Iowans crunch the numbers for their state and federal tax returns, CPA Bill Dindy says there are several things that the IRS looks for that can prompt an audit.
Usually it's a simple mistake to create the audit. It's usually something they could have avoided had they double-checked the work along the way. Inversions of numbers on the Social Security numbers, or not reporting income that the IRS already knows about.
Even if you filled out your forms flawlessly, the size of the numbers can often draw a probing eye.
The more successful you are financially, the more likely you are to trigger an audit. About 1% of overall returns get audited. By the time you make about $200,000, it's tripled the odds of being audited. And by the time you make over $1 million a year, we're about 1 in 9 are going to be audited.
Filling out the tax forms can be confusing, and Dindy says many people ignore deductions so they don't get red flagged by the IRS.
I don't believe we should leave any deductions on the table if we're entitled to them. But we get into some of those gray areas where people are doing these second jobs that they're looking to eventually make a sizable income, but in the first years they have losses, and the IRS will disallow the losses unless you ran it as a business, and that surprises some people along the way.
Dindy says navigating the tax system isn't easy, and many people ignore deductions to keep under the IRS radar. He says don't be afraid to ask for help. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Betty Mae Brandstetter, age 84, of Harlan, died Monday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Betty Mae Brandstetter will be held today at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Alfred Hughes, age 65, of Portsmouth, died Tuesday. A massive Christian burial service for Alfred Hughes will be held today at 11 a.m. at the St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Margaret Means, age 93, of Cedar Rapids, formerly of Manila, died January 19th in Cedar Rapids. Graveside funeral services for Margaret Means will be held today at 1 p.m. in the Nishnabotna Cemetery near Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Harlan Northrup, age 76, of Griswold, died Monday. A gathering of friends and family of Harlan Northrup will be held from 5 to 9 p.m. this evening at the Griswold Community Building, with the Cattlemen's Association serving a catered meal. Come and go as you please, and the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has the arrangements. Harold M. Rao, age 92, of Defiance, died Thursday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Harold Rao will be held on Monday, 10:30 a.m. at the St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ronald William Pethoud, age 74, of Harlan, died Thursday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Ronald Pethoud will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Bill Bailey, age 86, of Oakland, died Friday at the Oakland Manor Nursing Home. Graveside services for Bill Bailey will be held Monday at 1:30 p.m. at the Carson Cemetery in Carson. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. And Lorraine Arp, age 91, of Atlantic, died on Friday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Lorraine Arp will be held on Monday at 2 p.m. at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.